Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Donald Trump is officially now the President-elect of the United States of America. What does that mean for us? It means we won. And today it was certified by the Congress. Which is great. And Kamala Harris had to do the certifying, which was very, very awkward, to say the least. Welcome back. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here today on the Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse. I saw an article over the weekend that caught my attention about how all of these companies, these big companies that used to hate Trump, are now giving money to his inauguration, like Meta, for example. And Pfizer and a bunch of others. They're all deciding now they're going to play nice in the sandbox with Trump. See, this is not going to be like it was in 2017. If you remember, 2017 started and everybody worked against Trump. Everybody. Corporations worked against him. The Republican Party worked against him. The people inside the White House worked against him. And obviously the Democrats were gunning for him from day number one. They're not going to do that this time around. They can't. They're not going. They'd like to. Believe me, they'd like to. But they can't. And so what a lot of these companies are realizing is, hey, why don't we try to, instead of focusing on DEI and woke and all the other stuff, why don't we focus on making money? Because now we have this opportunity with this guy in the White House to actually make money. And we can make that our front and center. Instead of having to worry about DEI and worry about pronouns and all the other nonsense and being outraged by everything and fake boycotts, and why don't we just go out there and, you know, make money? And that's what they want to achieve now. Now, they're also realizing something, too. And I think this has been a great, great awakening. It's this. The mob, there's not many people in the mob. They're loud. They're loud on social media. Not a whole lot of them, though. They're loud on Twitter. They were loud on Facebook. They're loud on and they're intimidating in the sense that they have the ability to cast a big shadow, like a mouse, you know, that casts a shadow like an elephant. And then you turn on the light, it's just a tiny little mouse in the corner. That's really the angry mob, and primarily driven on social media, too. Outraged about this, outraged about that, right? Always outraged by something. You turn on the light, and you go, wow, it's not really that big. Companies would be wise to not pay attention anymore to the angry mob. Just turn around and say, you know what? We don't hear you. We don't hear you. What we're going to focus on now is delivering a great product, a great service, and making money, because that's the obligation we have to our shareholders and to our employees. And Donald Trump wants to see that happen. So Mark Zuckerberg's no fool. He goes down to Mar-a-Lago. You know, the Tim Cook, Apple, he goes down to Mar-a-Lago. These people are not fools. They go down there and they see it. Now, the resignation of Justin Trudeau is also very telling as well. It's telling in the sense that they've lost now beyond just our borders. They've lost in big ways. Because the Canadian people have had it, too. They're saying, we want to work with the United States of America. We want to be a partner with the United States of America. And we don't want to fight anymore. We want to see success for North America. You notice Mexico is saying the same thing right now, too. The president of Mexico, while turning around and doing the usual talk of, well, Mexico is not going to pay for the wall or any of the other thing. You know, Mexico is not going to pay for the wall. The Mexican president has been saying, well, you know, we're prepared to work with President Trump. We want to see what we can do to achieve things. And they get it. They understand. But here's something else they understand, too. Trump's not messing around here. Like, if you think that he's joking when he says we're going to make stuff in America, and if that means that Canada and Mexico, if their economy hurts because of that fact, well, then maybe they shouldn't be independent countries. He's not kidding. That's what ultimately led to Trudeau's resignation, besides the fact that people of Canada hate him. And they hated him for a lot of years and a lot of reasons. I mean, remember the truckers? Remember the whole thing with the vaccination mandates and the giant truck strike and Justin Trudeau was a tyrant? But when Trump sat him down at Mar-a-Lago and said to him, look, If Canada can't make it without ripping off the United States of America, maybe you guys shouldn't be a country. Maybe you guys should join the United States. Maybe you should be the 51st state. That was an emasculating thing to say to a guy who once mansplained to a woman how you can't use the term mankind. You have to say humankind because it's more inclusive. That guy was always seen as a beta male cuck. And you know what I'm talking about here. Always seen that way. Beta to the core. And the people of Canada saw it too. Guys like Trudeau also wanted to surrender their nation's sovereignty to the bond villains at the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the World Bank, to the World Health Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, all these groups surrender their country's sovereignty, all in the name of progress. The Canadian people saw through that nonsense as well. But Trump's not messing around. He says, we're going to build an America. We're going to make America great again. What did the Biden administration announce today? They announced today two things. Well, the first thing is that they announced that they're going to end drilling in natural gas leases off the coast of the United States of America. We'll talk about that with Daniel Turner later in the show. They also announced that they're stepping in to take over, to stop the takeover of U.S. steel by Japan. And they did that today because they know that Trump's going to do it and they want to undermine him and try to take credit with the steel workers on the way out the door. Trump's not messing around here. He's going to bring jobs back to America, and he has the ability to do it by using a very strong incentive, which is build in the United States of America, and we'll give you a lower corporate tax rate, something that Ireland did, and it worked very, very well for them. Now, here's something else, too, and that is this. Blue-collar workers in this country lined up behind Donald Trump in huge ways. Huge ways, because they realize now that the war on energy that the left has been pushing is a scam that's ultimately going to cost them their jobs. And the Democrats haven't learned that lesson yet, which is why on the way out the door, Biden decides today to cancel oil and natural gas leases off the coast, because on the way out the door, he wants to give in to his base, which is mostly academics and white liberals. You know, Michael Che, who's the comedian on Saturday Night Live, he does a weekend update with Colin Jost. He had this very funny joke about how he went to a Black Lives Matter rally recently, and the only people there were white women. And I thought that was so funny because it really does embody what the left is made up of these days, which is it's not really made up of all these vast coalitions of groups. It's made up of white, mostly college educated women. That really is the modern day left. Their numbers are hemorrhaging. Imagine Elizabeth Warren being the Democrat Party. America's mother-in-law, the glasses, the college, the fancy degrees, the snarky, like, I'm better than you attitude. That's the Democrat Party today. That's what the Democrat Party represents. And they have been trying so hard to scare people to run away from Donald Trump. Even today, on January 6th, the left's high holy day, insurrection day, fake insurrection day, of course. There was no insurrection, but they won't live that down. Even today on The View, Sonny Hostin, comparing what took place 4 years ago, even though Joe Biden became the president of the United States of America, comparing that to the Holocaust. Yes, the Holocaust, World War II, et cetera, et cetera. Cut number four.
I think we need to find moral clarity, you know, in this country. And I just remember after January 6th, you had someone like Mitch McConnell placing the blame on January 6th where it belonged, squarely on Donald Trump's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then you started seeing people backtrack that and losing their moral center. You had Condoleezza Rice, I believe, on this very show saying, you know, we need to move on from January 6th. Mm-hmm. I say no. You don't move on because January 6th was an atrocity. It was one of the worst moments in American history. And when you think about the worst moments in American history, you know, like World War II, things that happened, you know, like the Holocaust, chattel slavery, we need to never forget because past becomes prologue if you forget any race.
Now, let's think about this for a second. She brings up the Holocaust and she brings up chattel slavery and everything else on January the 6th. January the 6th, okay? 2021. Yet what happened on that day? Donald Trump lost the presidency. The Electoral College was certified by the Congress and Joe Biden was declared the victor. Yet it's somehow up there with the Holocaust. And this is what I mean. I mean, this is the insanity of people. This is the insanity of the left. And here's Adam Kinzinger, too, talking about what he believes January 6, 2021 will be remembered as Cut 23.
Congressman Kinzinger, you were in the House. You actually tweeted at 4:30 p.m. 4 years ago on this day. You tweeted, "This is a coup attempt." Do you think that history will remember this the way it actually happened?
Yeah, I do. Look, we're in this emotion. You know, Donald Trump got defeated. He convinced. I mean, look, he convinced his base that that election was stolen from him. And that, for 4 years, built this, like, intense anger where they truly believed this deep state, you know, garbage was happening. He's going to be president now for 4 years. He's going to own everything that happens in the economy, everything that happens in the world. And that, like, excitement that, like, we've been robbed will wear off. And history has this amazing ability to accurately reflect the happenings of that day.
Okay. Now, if that's true, why did Trump win? If the American people believe that, is Adam Kinzinger saying the American people are just dumb? Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. So what he's saying is that at some point in the future, smarter people will prevail than these idiots who all voted for Donald Trump in record numbers, of course, with a popular vote and Electoral College win. But smarter people will prevail in the end. See what I mean? It's that snarky, we're better than you, we know better than you attitude that still prevails. So this actor, John Cryer, over the weekend went on a temper tweet storm about how Trump is evil and Trump is horrible and Trump is Hitler and blah, blah, blah. And Bill Maher said it to him. He's like, this is why you guys lost, and it's why you guys are going to lose again. Listen, I think the left's obsession with January 6, 2021, their obsession with Trump being Hitler, their comparison to it being the Holocaust or 9/11 or any other nonsense that they bring up, this is the reason why they are doomed to be a minority party for a very, very long time. Their coalition is made up of snarky, white, mostly female liberal women. Imagine Elizabeth Warren as the embodiment of that political party who look down and condescend everybody. And Adam Kinzinger fits right well into that. Liz Cheney fits right well into that, whether she's a Republican on paper or not. When Bill Maher said it to John Cryer, I mean, this is why you guys are going to lose again. Take a listen.
The trans people in my life feel, at this point, really frightened, you know.
Who are the trans people in your life, if I may ask?
Well, no, frankly, that's my own business. And
okay,
it's not, you
that's
know,
fine. I just...
But they're in a place where they're personally terrified right now. Because not only was, you know, this election, was the outrage cycle of this particular election targeted them, But it was accepted, and people, you know, accept that it's like, okay, yeah, we dehumanized them. It was politics.
Well, another reason why the Democrats shouldn't have blown it.
Well, I you know, again,
so you can
blame them all you want.
I believe
again that there is a worldwide reaction to the inflation bump after COVID. Everybody, as I said, Americans hate inflation.
You keep telling yourself that, and you'll lose the next one, too.
You keep telling yourself that, and you'll lose the next one, too. Exactly right. Exactly right. But you realize something right now. The outrage that exists on the left is very small in terms of numbers. It's not a lot of people, but it's loud people who have big platforms. Like actors and actresses and other people who, for a long time, believed that because they were on TV or they were on a movie screen, that what they said mattered more than, say, a guy with a hard hat. Like, take Robert De Niro, great example. Robert De Niro is the embodiment of that. He believes that because he was in movies and you paid money to see him act, that therefore, when he comes out and he gives a press conference, that has more worth than a guy who busts his ass working for a living. But the Democrat Party does believe that. Just like if you've got a PhD after your name or an EDD like Dr. Jill Biden, you always have to say that by law, by the way, Dr. Jill Biden, that you somehow matter more than this poor schlub who's working for a living. You know, the poor schlub who actually has to go and work 10, 12 hours a day sometimes, busting his hump, busting her hump, getting the job done. Is you have more initials, you have more degrees, you have more money, you have more fancier, bigger titles, you go to the Hamptons, you live on the main line, you sip Chablis, whatever it is. And that out-of-touch elitism is really what doomed the Democrats. Yet the focus on January 6, 2021, for example, and Matt, I just sent you this clip of a little flashback of Donald Trump telling everybody to go home that day. Now, remember, Trump believed the election was stolen. There are lots of people who believe their election was stolen. If you heard the interview with Hans von Spakovsky earlier in the show, he talked about how Jimmy Carter, they stole Jimmy Carter's Senate seat from him in Georgia when he ran for the state Senate. And Jimmy Carter had to go to court, try to get his seat back. And there have been claims of election cheating going far back to the beginning of this country, the beginning of the republic. But Donald Trump told people to go home on January the 6th. It's not something the left wants to ever talk about. See, I think that the longer they obsess about that day, the more that the media beats it to death, the better for the Republicans, the better for Trump, the better for the American people. The American people are smart. They're not stupid. They do see through this stuff. When arrogant Adam Kinzinger sits there and has the audacity to say, in the future, history will judge accordingly. History will see this the right way. History will see this the right way. What he's saying is, you idiots today will be forgotten by smarter people tomorrow. Think about what a condescending, insulting thing that is to hear from people. History has a funny way of writing the ship from people who right now are making terrible, terrible choices. This is what Trump said 4 years ago today. Take a listen.
I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
And he also said that day, he said, we're going to march down the Capitol peacefully and patriotically and make our voices heard. There's nothing wrong with challenging an election. In fact, until they revised the Electoral Count Act, that jackass Jamie Raskin tried every 4 years. He did. Every 4 years. And every time there was a Republican president, he tried to challenge the Electoral College results. In fact, there's a famous clip of Joe Biden yelling at him because his letter objecting to Donald Trump's election in 2017, January 6th of 2017, was not accompanied by a senator. And Joe Biden's pounding the gavel telling Jamie Raskin to shut up because he didn't have an accompanying senator. So challenging the election is not an insurrection. And as we talked about with Hans von Spakovsky earlier in the show, there's nothing that would have led to an insurrection on that day. But hey, let the media keep running with it. Let the media keep their condescension. Let the media keep this fantasy and this farce going. And by the way, as for Robert De Niro, he's 81 years old. And just to show you how arrogant and out of touch he is, he doesn't change his one-year-old's diapers. Listen, as a father of three, I changed all three of my children's diapers proudly. Yes, I did. And I did a great job doing so as well. In fact, many people say I was the best diaper changer ever out there. But Robert De Niro does not change his kids' diapers. In an interview he did with the Sunday Times, he said, no, but I used to. My question is this. Who changes Robert De Niro's diapers? Well, he's 81 years old.
Yeah, so he's been... been filling his britches up enough to know. It'd be like, I'm not doing that. I know what it's like. I'm not doing that.
By the way, wouldn't it be ironic if his kids change his diapers?
I mean, yeah, that's what happens when you're an octogenarian and you have a kid. Jeez.
He's 81 years old with a one-year-old. How many marriages is this for Robert De Niro, out of curiosity? You think this one will last?
No.
No? He's got
imagine.
A total of, let's see, how many total kids is Robert De Niro? I bet you he's perfectly mentally sane. Father of seven, through how many different marriages, though, is what I wonder. How many times have you been married? Can you Google that real quick? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. By the way, his his wife now. I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend. She's 45, and she's an actress that I never heard of, so I wonder why they're together.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? Exactly.
Looks like he's been officially married twice, and he has 7 children.
Officially married twice, so this is his second marriage or his third?
So I don't think he's actually married at all right now. I think it's just his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right, so and they met while working on the film The Intern in 2015. And she's like, I'm going to, that old ATM machine over there. That's what she, right? I'm going to hook up with that old ATM machine in the corner.
I mean, if you're a struggling actress, you could do worse than pairing up with Robert De Niro, I'd imagine.
Although I think he lost a lot of money. I mean, he's in every movie ever made at this point. I think his accountant was one of those guys that got swindled, I think, by his accountant.
Oh, really?
I think he lost a ton of cash, yeah.
Well, he's still worth like $500 million.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Every time they play Meet the Parents, which is always on TV, he gets residuals from that.
Why is that your go-to Robert De Niro movie?
Because it's always on TV. Oh, I guarantee you Meet the Parents is on right now at some point.
Yeah, I can see it on like TBS or something right now.
Right now, at some point right now, it's playing somewhere. Well, Godfather 2, he probably gets residuals too. That movie's always on around the holidays. So,
Goodfellas is on a lot also.
Goodfellas? I mean, that's what I mean. Like, he might have lost all his money, but I think Robert De Niro is going to be just fine. Not in the head, but he's going to be just fine. In the head, he's lost that a long time ago. Who changes his diaper? That's the question of the hour. Brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venere.
That's the worst sponsorship in the history of mankind.
Instead of the big story of the hour, it's the big question of the hour. Who changes Robert De Niro's diaper? Brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venere, with 2 offices to serve you in Sinaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VANARIA, VenereaDental.com. All right, we got a big show for you straight ahead. Dry January. Are you doing it? Let me know. You can tweet me on X at Rich Zeoli or call the show. And we're going to talk about it. Does drinking alcohol cause cancer, or is this just another way for the government to try to scare the bejesus out of us? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
If you want, let's stay in the moment. Henry must be working the board today, huh?
How could you tell?
There it is. Good to have you back, Henry.
Oh, great to be back.
How's life? Good?
Yeah, life's been treating me pretty well lately, honestly.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. Excellent. Excellent. Enjoying working on Dom's show, you traitor?
I do. It is a good time, but I do miss playing music like this coming back from breaks. Cause you let it run out, and Dom just jumps right into whatever he wants to talk about. So having some fun with the music is something I miss.
Yeah, well, you know, it depends on the mood, actually, and it's a snow day today, so, I mean, you gotta just have fun in a snow day, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
You gotta just do it. You gotta do it. There's no other way around.
Yeah, like a snow day throws a wrench in your work plans, Justin's car troubles threw a wrench in my work plan. So,
see?
Here I am.
Exactly. And here you are. And thank you for being here. And thank God DeSantis isn't, right? I mean, am I right about that?
Well, I think he's counting his lucky stars. He's not in studio with me. Otherwise, I'd be going back to the old, did you see this? Did you see that?
Yeah, you know what? It is nice to have Henry here, but not be in studio with him. It's like the best of Henry, because he is very good at his job, obviously.
Thank you.
But since we're not in the studio together, he's not harassing me during segments.
You see that? He's not harassing you during segments, even though he really should be.
I mean, harassing, that's a strong word.
Exactly.
Bothering. I could live with bothering.
All right, if HR is listening, I retract my harass comment. Bothering is the better term.
Bothering is the better term?
Yeah.
Pestering,
I think that's
even.
Fair.
Yeah,
pestering is fair. That's fair.
Pestering, bothering, all the above. I will say, though, that the nice thing about Henry's mullet is that the ladies still to this day dig it. Like, it has become like Bigfoot. Have you seen Henry's mullet? It's a legend in of its own. It really is.
It really is, because, like, it's hit or miss whether I'll show up to a remote broadcast or something. I always get the calls, like, you can be out at this one. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. My parents,
came to our
you
broadcast
never know.
Last
yeah.
time. They're
yeah.
great people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And how's it working with the other Bigfoot, which is Big Dan Borowski?
It's going pretty well with him. Yeah, we have a nice like rapport going, nice workflow we have between the two of us. It's worked out pretty nicely.
He is a big freaking giant. And you know he was patient zero with COVID, right? Did you know that in 2020?
I am not surprised. I mean, the man is always sick with something.
Always like, sick.
Like, comes back. He took last week off, and he comes in. He's sniffling today. He's like, I hope I don't get you sick. I'm like,
yeah, and
just
he's
stay
one of those
over
guys
there.
Too, that still comes in when he's sick. It's like, that ship has sailed. If you're sick, stay the hell home. You're not proving anything. You're not a tough guy. Stay home.
I think he wanted to get back in the driver's seat. I think
you don't drive, so you're all better.
Is it a bad time for me to mention that I am also sick right now?
Oh, boy.
You're sick. Stalker's sick. There's something going around.
Ugh.
Not me. I'm fine. I haven't left the house in a month. I'm great.
Oh, you're in for a rude awakening when you touch down in the studio again. Better wipe everything down before you get in here.
Well, I went to Mexico, and of course now that means that every time now I go to the doctor, they're going to ask that question of, have you traveled outside the country in the last couple of weeks? I'm going to say, no, because I don't want to deal with it. I'm fine, but yeah, it's all the contact tracing and everything like that, so I'm just going to go, nope, Mexico is basically part of the United States. Cancun is basically part of America. See, I think Trump should take over Canada and also Cancun. It basically is America down there. They have a Costco, Home Depot. There's a Greg, I think Wegmans is down there now. The cab driver from the airport to our hotel was telling us that all these Americans during COVID moved down to Cancun. Everybody speaks English down there, totally safe. And every chain you can think of, literally across the street from our hotel, was a beautiful McDonald's. Right across from our hotel.
Beautiful McDonald's.
Love McDonald's.
Beautiful, the most beautiful McDonald's you've ever seen. So Trump should take, and Cabo too. Cabo, I hear a lot of people like Cabo. I've never been there, but he should just take that over too. Leave like the center of Mexico to Mexico, but take those two parts.
Take the coasts.
Take the coast, basically, yeah. Manifest destiny. But like, what's that part of Mexico where all the drugs are? Well, Mexico, but I mean the part of Mexico that's always in the movies, like in Sicario.
Juarez. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they can keep Juarez. Like, they can have Juarez.
Sicario was on last night. That's how I knew that.
Sicario is a great movie.
Awesome. Awesome.
And you know who wrote that is Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Yellowstone, Tulsa King.
Oh, yeah.
And Landman, which I hope you're watching.
I haven't. I saw the clip of Jerry Jones. He actually looked pretty good in it.
Yeah. Landman with Billy Bob Thornton, John Hamm. It is freaking great. I love it. Tulsa King, which Susie Cool's been badgering me for years to watch it. Great show. Sylvester Stallone. He plays a mob boss a mobster from New York who is sent to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the whole, like, him acclimating to the culture is great. It's very, very, it's a good show. But Taylor Sheridan wrote Sicario. Excellent movie. Right? Now, what about Sicario, Day of the Soldado?
I haven't watched it only because it's not a Denis Villeneuve movie. He didn't direct the second one. He directed Sicario. He didn't direct the second one, so I have no interest in seeing it.
Which is why it's not as well-regarded as the first one.
Yeah, totally.
First one was great. Really showing the cartels and their power they have. And I mean, just an excellent, excellent movie.
And that border scene's all time.
That border scene is ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, so good. So Mexico can keep Juarez. We'll take Canada, Cancun, Cabo. I think it's a good trade.
I don't think they'll sign off to it.
Not really a trade. We're just going to take it. But... just kind of taking it. Hey, what are you going to do, say no? Now, Henry, you are a big fan of Pierre Poilievre, are you not?
Yeah. When I first saw him a few years ago, I was like, oh, this dude rocks.
In fact, you actually brought him to my attention when you were still on the show. Mm-hmm. Remember that one clip of him eating an apple?
Yeah, really, like, smugly with the reporter.
Yeah. Reporters ask him questions, and it's the crispiest apple in the world. And Pierre Poilievre just crunching it as he's confronting this reporter who's like, well, fake news. He's like, what's fake news? Crunch, crunch. It was great. So after little Castro, Justin Trudeau, the bastard love child of Fidel Castro.
No. We believe that Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
No, you believe that. We don't believe that. Just for the record, you believe that.
It's the official stance of the Rich Zeoli show for legal reasons.
Allegedly. He's totally the Cuban seed of Castro. No. Oh, you know, speaking of Cubans... Like Castro, I was when we were at the duty free store in the Cancun airport. I was going to bring back Cuban cigars, but I went online and I looked it up, and it said that you can't bring them back in the country anymore; they'll confiscate them. I guess Trump re-signed that back in 2020 because that's what happens. The Republicans will reinstate that ban, and I guess Biden never overturned it. And the guy at the duty free store, what a slime bowl! He's like, no, you could bring those back to the United States. And Bridget's like, well, he wouldn't lie. I'm like, of course he'd lie. What is he? What am I going to do? I get back to America. I walk over to Customs and Border Patrol, and the guy goes, do you have anything with you? And I go, no. And he goes, open up your bag. And there's Cuban cigars. And he confiscates them. What am I going to get back on a flight to Cancun to yell at the guy at the duty-free store that he swindled me out of money? No. So I'm going to go to the Smoking Dog in Maple Shade and just buy cigars and end it. But the guy, what a slime ball. He's like, no, you could bring these cigars back to America.
He had to sell you. He knows it's exact that exact point. He knows he's never going to see you again.
No, never again. So and I would do the same thing if I were in his shoes. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're good, man. You're good. Because what's that?
I was going to say, I heard that even if you bring – so, for example, when I was in Italy last summer, I wanted to purchase this, like, just block of prosciutto from one of the duty-free stores. And the woman at the counter warned me that they might confiscate it once I get back to the U.S. And that was just prosciutto.
Yeah, because it's food.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. It's also cured meat. Something about meat. I don't know. Meat. I don't know.
What's the deal with the smokes, then? Why can't we bring them back?
What, just the Cuban cigars?
Yeah.
Because we put the regime back on. We put the ban. Obama ended the ban on certain imports of Cuban products into the United States of America. Trump put it back on. And it all has to do with the Cuban vote in Miami because the Cubans still hate. Like, Cuban Americans still hate Cuba because of Justin Trudeau's dad. And they're still in. Like, basically, the Castros still run everything. And so then Trump. One Florida, and then he put the ban back in place, so you can't bring Cuban cigars back to the United States legally anyway.
Okay.
So,
all right, I get you.
Allegedly. Now, I was going to do it, but if there's anyone that's going to be flagged by this administration, it's me. you know? So,
you? Outspoken radio host?
I know, right?
No.
But the guy didn't ask. He goes, you got anything to declare? I said, nah. I said, we got some wine and we got some chocolates. We got a duty free. He's like, any fruits or vegetables or anything like that? I go, no. He goes, all right, you're good. And just, waved me back in. And then I looked at my wife and I said, damn it. And then at that moment, I wanted to fly back and buy Cuban cigars. But then I would have them confiscated the second time. You know what I mean? So, like, can't win. But now that Trudeau is going back, Pierre Poilievre is in line to take over Canada. Here's Pierre Poilievre reacting to little Justin Trudeau announcing that he will be stepping down as the Prime Minister of Canada after being mocked on the world stage by Donald Trump. Cut two.
Good day. Canadians desperate to turn the page on this dark chapter in our history might be relieved today that Justin Trudeau is finally leaving. But what has really changed? Every Liberal MP in power today and every potential Liberal leadership contender fighting for the top job helped Justin Trudeau break the country over the last 9 years.
Yep.
All Liberal politicians actively worked to pass into law the job-killing inflationary carbon tax, a tax that Carbon Tax Carney endorsed in his book. All supported a law quadrupling the tax over the next 5 years. All voted for or actively supported Trudeau's out-of-control spending, debt, and immigration. All passed Trudeau's housing policies that doubled the cost of homes. All Liberal politicians helped pass catch-and-release bail and house arrest for the most rampant re-offenders. Policies that increased violent crime 50%, gun crime 116%, and hate crime by 250%. So given that Liberal MPs and leadership contenders unanimously supported everything Trudeau has done, why dump him now, right before an election? Have they had a change of heart? Is it because they feel guilty that they doubled housing costs, hiked taxes, unleashed crime, broke immigration, forced a quarter of the population into poverty? No. They continued supporting Trudeau when he did all of those things. No, their only objection is that he is no longer popular enough to win an election and keep them in power.
That's exactly right. So here is the announcement we've all been waiting for. Little Justin Trudeau announcing that he intends to resign as Canada. He's a tyrant. Good riddance to him. Cut number one.
So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you.
Last night, Cuban sandwich. No joke. True story, folks. No joke. Pressed Cubano. You know, you got to do it the right way. It's got to be pressed. And not brioche bread, Matt DeSantis. Not brioche bread.
I don't know why you have to wage war against brioche bread. It's delicious.
By the way, did you see the bread I made yesterday? I posted it on Instagram. Did you see that masterpiece?
No, I'll have to look at it right now.
Oh, man. So we had a, you know, yesterday we made bread and sourdough Italian bread, sesame seeds, of course. There's no other way. Came out beautiful. I posted a pic to Instagram. Absolutely amazing. Crispy on the outside, soft and chewy on the inside. Beautiful and not brioche. Because I'm a man. That's why. Because I'm a man.
That bread does look good.
See that? It was unbelievable. Tell me, it's the best bread I ever made in my life.
It's not brioche, but what can you do?
Now, here's the secret. Guy. You put a steel pan in the bottom of the oven, and then you put a stone pizza stone on top of the top rack, and that traps the heat. You do a sourdough starter, and then you put a pan of water in there to create steam, and then the bread is nice and crispy on the outside. You do a 24-hour to 48-hour bulk ferment. Boom. And you got a beautiful, beautiful product right there. That's South Philly grade, right? You see that? That's South Philly grade. I wish we could put it up on the screen, but we can't today. But gorgeous. So go to my Instagram page, at Zioli Show. You can take a look at that. All right, here's Trudeau. Let's start over. Go ahead.
So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you today. I intend to resign as party leader, as Prime Minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process. Last night, I asked the President of the Liberal Party to begin that process. This country deserves a real choice in the next election, and it has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election.
Aw. Little Castro, gone for good. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Donald Trump has been certified as the President of the United States of America. What is his agenda going to look like? Speaker Mike Johnson talking about that over the weekend. A big, bold package for America. But listen, my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria is a great guy and a great friend of the show. And now 2025 is upon us, and there's so much to be happy about and so much to smile about. And it's time for you to get that beautiful smile of your dreams by reaching out to my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is my family dentist. He really is. My whole family goes to him. In fact, somebody said to him the other day, said, does Rich really come here? The whole Zioli clan goes to Dr. Mike. And yes, Mama Zioli first discovered Dr. Mike Veneria for us. So you can trust that he's going to give you a great smile. Now, for 10 years in a row, going to be 11 now, Dr. Mike has been regarded as a master of dental implants among his peers. That's right. They recommend him refer their patients to Dr. Mike Veneria for complicated dental work. So go see Dr. Mike and get a free implant consultation. And if you've had already a consultation, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike Veneria. By the way, you're going to love his politics. You love the music playing in the office. He's just a great conversationalist, and he is a loyal fan of the show. So Dr. Mike's probably listening right now, which is great. So reach out to him today, VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, my buddy, my friend, my dentist, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah! All right, so, a couple things to point out. First of all, the comments on the YouTube are great, but it is, you do proof bread. You don't, proof bread is one thing, but ferment, bulk ferment is the term that we use. We're talking about making pizza dough or making bread. Bulk ferment is the term. You can proof bread, but that's different. So there's a fermentation period that occurs, and it's a bulk ferment, and then you take it out, and then you make the single loaves or the dough for the pizza, and boom, there you go. That's great. That's how we do it. Secondly, a couple of great, very funny tweets about me being in the Hooskow, but there's a request that was made on social media. I'd like to deliver it, and that request was made by Michael Cooper, who said, can I do the guy at the duty-free store with the Italian accent. So, Matt DeSantis, so you said you try to bring prosciutto back into the country, which, of course, is one of my favorite delicacies, or as my people call it, prosciutto. Not
yes,
capicola, which, of course, is gabagool, but, you know, but you try to bring prosciutto. Now, why prosciutto and not gabagool?
Well, the prosciutto, it was a massive slab of prosciutto, which is why I was initially drawn towards it. I think it weighed like 10 pounds. It was huge. I can't stress how massive it was. So
no,
when
my,
I got...
My prosciutto is huge, by the way. I got one at Restaurant Depot the other day. It was massive, huge.
When I
Italians
got to the...
tend to have big gabagool, you know what I mean?
All right.
No, it's true. It's a whole thing. The Moors invaded Italy, and anyway, I don't want to get into that whole thing, but anyway.
When I got to the counter, I was informed that I would need to eat the entirety of the 10-pound prosciutto on the flight back to Philadelphia. Otherwise, it was likely to be confiscated once I went through security.
So you ate 10 pounds of prosciutto on a plane?
No, I left it. I wasn't going to be able to eat 10 pounds. Plus, it was just, what am I going to do? I had no method of cutting it. I would have just had to, like, bite into the thing. So it was a disaster. I left it behind. I didn't take it with me, unfortunately.
Most people get busted for swallowing cocaine, like drugs in their system. You would have 10 pounds of prosciutto and waited for it to pass and then sold it on the black market. Usually people, it's bags of heroin, you know? They swallow them. That's a whole big way to come. Now, the guy at the Italian store, but he was honest with you and he said to you they're likely to confiscate it?
Yeah, he was actually super nice because I wouldn't have any – I had no idea that wouldn't be able to get that past customs.
No.
So, he saved me a fortune.
I figured it would have been a Frank Pantangeli, like, sir, can I bring this prosciutto, this 10-pound thing of prosciutto back to the United States? I figured the guy would have been like, yeah. I figured it would have been like that. Gabagool. You take this gabagool. You have no problem. No, you were good. You were good. And then he turns around and looks like this a dumb Americano. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I figured would happen.
You'd think a sale is a sale, but this guy, I guess he had a guilty conscience, and it was very nice of him to warn me.
He was honest. Now, that wonderful olive oil that Linda Kearns gave us for Christmas, by the way, I got to tell you, it's some of the best olive oil I've ever had in my life. It's not a Fugazi. Linda Kearns is fantastic. And that olive oil, we dipped my homemade bread in. Unbelievable. I'm like crack. That's how good that was. Delicious. Delicious. But there's a lot of Fugazis out there, you know. A lot of Fugazis.
Nothing
and yesterday, as I was talking about dry January, so I mentioned that Peroni, which is an Italian beer, has a 00 that I swear tastes exactly like real Peroni. And I made the point that knowing the Italians, it probably is real Peroni. Like, you know what I mean? Like, knowing them, they probably just changed the label and just put a zero on it. And they're like, is this alcohol free? Yeah, this has a no alcohol. This is a, yeah. And I'm sitting back drinking like four or five of them going, this dry January is a breeze. I can get through this. No problem. You're not doing dry January, are you, Henry?
Absolutely not, no. What, is that a joke? I don't think I drink enough to even like consider dry January, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Santa, are you giving up Coca-Cola for the month of January?
Oh, absolutely not. No way.
No.
No way.
He's an addict.
Yeah, he can't give it up. He'd have to go to one of those rehab clinics in Malibu that costs like $48,000 to stop drinking Coca-Cola for the month of January.
Matt, are you upset if RFK takes all the high fructose corn syrup out of the Cokes? Or are you?
Oh,
you welcome.
I love my high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, I figured you would. Yeah, no, get this guy to Malibu right now. Get him out. You need the rehab, you sicko.
I'll definitely have to go to, like, the Betty Ford Center or something.
Actually, that hot congresswoman, Alina Paul, what's her name?
I know you're
Paulina
talking about.
Luna?
Yeah.
Yes.
That one.
She already put a bill in to ban high fructose corn syrup and all those seed oils. She's got a bill in to ban those things that she's already introduced into the new Congress.
The back to beef tallow bill?
Yeah, basically. Now, I'm not a big prohibitionist, but I mean, I'll do anything she tells me to do.
Pause.
Wait, weren't McDonald's fries originally cooked in beef tallow? I mean, I'm not old enough to remember it, but apparently, I remember hearing Malcolm Gladwell talk about it, and supposedly the fries with the beef tallow were significantly better than the McDonald's fries that we have now, and I love 100%. The McDonald's fries we have now.
Yeah, oh no, they were, back in the day, I mean, they were crispy, and they used to fry lots of things, like donuts and beef tallow. I mean, that's what made things super crispy back then, not this low-energy, you know, crap that they use today. But it's cheap and it's everywhere. And good luck banning high fructose corn syrup, because you know where that comes from, right?
No.
Iowa, corn. The first state in the union where everybody goes to run for president. They can't. I mean, that's why ethanol is in our gasoline. The corn lobby is so powerful because Iowa is the first in the state presidential. Good luck banning high fructose corn syrup. Good luck with that. That's all I'll say. You know?
Yeah, it's not my job.
Not my job either, Henry. Not my job either. And I'll tell you one other thing, too, which is that Canada mocked Justin Trudeau. I guess they have their own version of Saturday Night Live or something. And this would have been really good to show on video, but we can't do that today because it's a snow day. But they did a mocking of Trump and Trudeau at Mar-a-Lago. And you got to listen to this. This is very, very funny. It's a better visual. Maybe we'll tweet it out, but take a listen.
Mr. President, I must admit, I was worried that you were going to try to humiliate me.
I would never embarrass you, Justin. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Donald.
Now I want to see you eat it.
Excuse me? The hamburger?
The Big Mac, the president of all burgers. I'm going to make you eat it like a dog with no hands.
Mr. President, I have self-respect.
Not so much, to be honest. I mean, he came like a dog, didn't he? He really did.
Mon ami, I come to you not on bended knee, but as an equal.
30% tariff.
My father taught me to
50%
never...
50% tariff.
We Canadians are a hearty 60% lot.
60% tariff.
For Canada! I'm a hungry little puppy. I'm so hungry for my puppy chow.
All right, that's enough, Justin. I won't impose a tariff.
I can't. I'm not even the president yet, am I? What a loser. Now let's DJ.
It's fun to stay at the
It's great. He made him eat the burger like a dog. Now, his impression is not nearly as good as Sean Farish, but that was very, very funny. So, but Farish for the win, no doubt about that. All right, we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you in our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Trump urges passage of one big, beautiful bill. What's going to be in it as he is now certified as the President-elect of the United States of America? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.